Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
You know, if we have a cold beer here or there, a cup of coffee or a piece of pie, hey, that's me, and I'm not going to change.
Well, how about coffee, beer, or pie Thursday? I'll let you guess what Colton brought in. I have my coffee right here, and if you're interested, strawberry, rhubarb, or key lime. Great to be with you on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you. We're loaded up. We'll talk plenty of Super Bowl. And the Hail Varsity poll question is there for you to log on and vote on. We'll check the results moving forward. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Sue or Rex? Rams or Patriots? Can log on hailvarsity.com. Can dial us up 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tweet at us at Schmidt underscore radio, at two birds, one stone. Give us each a follow, or at Hail Varsity. Can email Chris at hailvarsity.com. Some recruiting on the docket. Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star, will be with us in 15 minutes. We'll talk some football with him. His thoughts on the week of Moose. Russ Hochstein, part of that Patriot dynasty. Russ, two championships with Tom Brady, knows the Gronk. So we'll get his take on what it's really like to play in New England, first of all. Second of all, some thoughts on the Gronk. Thirdly, I need to know just if they have fun or not in New England. Or if it's like Soviet Union training when Drago was getting ready for Rocky. Brandon Vogel, we love us some Vogues. Plenty of Brandon Vogel coming up at 525. Okay, we are lucky enough to be on in Columbus, Nebraska. News Talk 900, dear friend, former partner, David Gustafson. They're also a Nebraska Sports Network, Husker Sports Network affiliate. We have some of the audio last night from Bill Moose and his sit down with Greg Sharp. So, and I think a lot of folks tuned in or have read about it or checked it out. Colton, jump in here, man. And we're all kind of wondering what's last night? What was it going to be like? How awkward, how cringeworthy, what was the outcome going to be based on the rumors and then the statement Tuesday, and then you have Moose sitting down at the mic Wednesday. What's going to happen? And I caught it, and I'm like, I thought it was fine. I thought Bill Moose was Bill Moose last night on the radio, and the interactions fans have had with him have been good, and the support is evident for the basketball team. We'll get to all of it, but my takeaway from Moose last night was that's your AD, man of the people. And not only does he practice that, but he preached it last night. He sounded comfortable, took phone calls, and moved forward with it. But you just kind of, the thing that is kind of a black eye to Nebraska right now is this is what we're hitting on. Basketball's been the bug, and the Big Ten mid part has been the windshield. So this is what's being chirped about now. And it needed to be addressed. It was by Green and Bounds and Moose. And we'll hear from Bill Moose in a little bit here, but it's a weird look for Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, from what I read and the little snippets I've heard, it wasn't anything that I guess I didn't expect. Like, it's not like he was going to go on there and say, yeah, I was, an incident away from getting fired. Like, that's a legitimate thing. Like, he obviously, I mean, he didn't go, like, full deny until it's, the truth comes out by any means, but He also didn't come off fake either. So
no, and that's the best way to say it, man. I think he's pretty authentic.
Yeah,
I think what you see is what you get with Bill Moose, and he's. I mean, you heard the opening clip coming in, cup of coffee, piece of pie, or a cold beer. And I think, you know what, man? That represents the state of Nebraska. Some of you don't like cold beer. That's fine. You'll have a cup of coffee. Some of you don't like a cup of coffee. You'll have a piece of pie. I'm getting hungry and thirsty. But I don't know if I've never had beer with pie. Have you?
Maybe in like the same day, but sure. probably not together.
No, you're not having a beer at dinner and then a piece of pie. You're not having.
Yeah, you're not going to, you know, shotgun a Natty Light and then have a piece of apple pie or anything.
And I need to
like
get
that,
out of the Natty Light habit, man.
Oh, I don't drink it.
Okay, you just know people to do.
I just know the people to do, yep.
That's fine. I've not even tried the old American cheese on a slice of apple pie. Have you?
Thought about it.
So I've thought about it, too. One of my favorite movies is Thank You for Smoking. It's hilarious. But you got the sports guy from Anchorman, you know, Whammy, that dude, mm-hmm. the bald guy. I should know his name, but he's in the movie Thank You for Smoking, and he's having a piece of pie. It's America, you know. You can do what you want, and I guess it's awesome. I've not tried. I'm going to ask Brandon Vogel about it. I've not tried cheese on apple pie. Vogues is not only brilliant in sports, but he knows his food. Like, we're going to get full barbecue Super Bowl feed bag with him on top of football. So let's get to what Bill Moose had to say. And it started off with the Moose and just kind of opening up about the last 48 hours where you're at dinner with your wife. Here comes text messages, phone call to your bosses, statement Tuesday. And here's Bill Moose.
I've been here 15 months. I figured I needed an endorsement. So it's got some things pop up. But no, unfortunately, in this industry, you have chat lines and social media and people who get out in front of things and make up stories and such. It's not uncommon.
So he laid that out there. Kind of goes with the territory. You got to take some arrows as a guy that's out front, and more on this kind of opening statement. This went from rumor to panic mode. And again, I know this happened Tuesday, not trying to wear you out with it, but you get to hear the, you know, from the Moose's mouth right now.
This kind of got some legs going, and I figured that I needed to make sure I let both the chancellor and the president know, and they just hopped right on it and pretty much diffused it by today. So, you know, the great thing about being the athletic director at Nebraska is you're very visible. The people love to be with you, and I always got to watch yourself. I've always felt that I did always remember who I am and who I'm with. You know, my practice is to be out and spend some time around the state with folks. If the scoreboard reads right, that usually is okay. Sometimes with some people, hey, the guy needs to get straightened out here, and we're going to make up a story. So we got after it. There's nothing to it, and hey, I'm still here. And
he went on to say, I'll be here next month. So that's Bill Moose. More from the athletic director, Bill Moose, on his show. And you have, as what's been missing from Nebraska is people rowing in the same direction. We talked about it with Mike Babcock yesterday. And Nebraska's been kind of a divided place, right? A divided place where not everyone's been on the same page, right? You had Eichhorst, and you had Riley, and you had Bo, and you had Eichhorst, or, you know. So just, I'm not, like, blaming any of the entities. I'm just saying you've had people zigging when the other thought they were going to zag, period. It's just been it's been different, right? It's been different since T.O. stepped down. So a couple of people ruin it for everyone. It's pretty much the premise of this take.
The president and the chancellor, when I was hired, told me a long time ago, you've never seen this. And they were right. And you know what? I thrive on that. I love the fact that these fans, who are so remarkable, Husker fans, are so into our university and our athletic department. They are so excited about it, and they want to help. They want to know what's going on and all of this. But for every 100 that are have the right approach and the right attitude, there's one or two that don't, and it's unfortunate when they get the attention and wanted to take that attention away from them as fast as we could.
It's Bill Moos on his show last night. That audio courtesy of Husker Sports Network and our affiliate News Talk 900 that we're on. Great to be on KJSK up in Columbus. So we'll get to the Tim Miles part of things and the desk drawer shortlist here in a little bit. But one more thought from Moos here. Based on the fact you've been here 15 months, based on the fact the message boards and Twitter went gangster, he was asked if he's going to change. Are you going to change your style? Are you going to change your approach? Are you going to change what you are?
Not one bit. It's worked for me for 36 years in the profession and 26 as an athletic director in Division I. It's how I operate. I'm not going to change. And quite frankly, these people don't want me to. They've been starved for this. And for whatever reason, it's how I operate. And I think that's why the president and the chancellor were interested in me, among hopefully other reasons, but that I can relate to the people and promote our program, not just in Lincoln or not just Lincoln and Omaha, but all the of central and western Nebraska. And I love going out there. You know that I'm a country guy. I got my own cattle ranch. My wife and I have raised our kids primarily in that kind of environment. And I love getting out there and doing those things. At the same time, we enjoy our time in Omaha, and we love Lincoln. So I'm going to be Bill Moos. I was hired because I'm Bill Moos. If people are tired of Bill Moos or whatever, I hope they're not, because we got a lot more to accomplish here, and we're certainly gaining strides. But we need people on board. We don't need people casting stones and those kind of things. We need to have everybody pulling in the same direction, and we'll get back to our rightful place and have a lot of fun ahead of us.
You know, and Moos has this demeanor and manner about him like he's lived here his whole life. And I know he's not from Nebraska, but he just seems to fit. And he's a guy that is defending himself. Part of his comments from last night. Reminder, Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Stars coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. We'll get in touch with Brandon Vogel and Russ Hochstein on the way. Get to some of your calls here in a moment as well. But the guy's pretty genuine. That's what he comes across as to me the few times we've interacted. And he is, it's been a week. You know what'd be good? You go get a win in Champaign on Saturday if you're a Nebraska basketball fan. Do we do this, Colton? I need your advice on this.
I think it'll be okay.
Okay. Well, let's go to it. John, welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you, Stephen?
Good, man. What's up?
Good. Hey, I just have one thought. With the Moos situation, first of all, he's just what the doctor ordered. Right place, right time, right guy. And we're lucky we have him. And the thing that irritates me is it seems like we have a lot of rats out there that are just looking to cause trouble. And I hope whoever started this gets called out. And, you know, it's happened before. It happened with Coach Bellini a couple times, where, you know, somebody
the audio leaks
would release stuff, and it's just a bunch of baloney.
Hey, thanks for the call. And, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens when it comes to how this started, who started it, no idea. Moos will address that coming up here. We're about out of time this segment, but we'll get to Parker Gabriel, his take on this, because he was one of the media outlets to get comments on it. Parker also will have a thought or two on Sue. And, I mean, there's plenty to talk about. I mean, what's going to happen with Demarion Houston, the wideout? Nebraska's got signing day You got 6 days to fill up some of your spots, so that's also on our mind. I don't want to just rehash the week of Moose, but this is newsworthy to get into. He commented on it. We're lucky enough to have some access to it, so we needed to get there. But, you know, I think a lot of Nebraska fans are echoing what John says about Moose being the guy to kind of bring everybody back together.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been here long enough to have done a bad job, and he hasn't been here long enough.
What was he asked to do?
Get
fire and hire.
Yeah, and he's done number one on the list, and so you can only go from there. It's hard really to go more than that because that's what everyone wanted. But you know, with all this stuff, you mentioned that signing day. Because of the early signing period, I kind of forgot even when. Like signing day is.
Colton will have a extravaganza, a special, I promise you, with Hail Varsity next Wednesday down in the rail yard. A reminder, something's got to give. It's you or the windshield. How about a seatbelt? Seatbelt prevents excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That means the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up, click it, or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. More from the Moose. We'll talk with Parker Gabriel next, Lincoln Journal Star, as we continue with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Coming up, former part of that Patriots dynasty, Russ Hochstein, going to be with us. We say hi to Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star, covers Nebraska football, does an amazing job at Husker Extra PG. Parker, how's your week been?
Oh, yeah, it's been active, I guess you would say, Schmitty. How about yours?
I'm fine, man. We've all been busy. You've been very busy with this Moose stuff, and I want to kind of get your take on running this down, because I know you were on top of it, and that decision when to pursue, because we hear things all the time, you know, you especially being as close as you are to things, that's what I'm interested in. What prompted you to move forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for us, what happened, well, I mean, this stuff's sort of been simmering out there, depending on, you know, what corners of the internet you slink around, and then you sort of hear about it. And I think the thing that really, I mean, when it came for us, the only question that we really felt like we needed to have answered was, is Bill Moose going to lose his job? You know, is he going to leave that, whether it's fired or, you know, resign or retire or whatever. And I guess you just heard that enough times that it sort of became one of those, even if this is a dumb question, we think we need an answer from it. And so late Monday night, we felt pretty good about the answer that we had. But I think it just kept growing and growing and growing. And so by Tuesday morning, the president of the university and the chancellor of the school felt it necessary to put out that statement and say it emphatically. And it just sort of opened a can of worms, right? Because then you have this, like, with very little context, you have this statement that they're satisfied with the job he's done. And I think people's natural first question was, well, yeah, why wouldn't they be? And so then it became a matter of just sort of trying to figure out the best way to explain a situation without giving credence to things that nobody really provided any concrete evidence for.
No, and that's the thing. Why is there a statement on something that's not an issue? Well, you know, was there an issue? So that's the rundown. Parker Gabriel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Husker Extra PGs, where you follow him on Twitter. So what do you think of Moose's appearance last night?
I thought that he said probably exactly what he wanted to. You know, I mean, I always, one of the things, you know, you never know exactly what's in someone's mind, right? And and you don't act like you know someone just because you talk to them every once in a while, or, you know, you spend a little bit of time with them or whatever. But the consistency between, you know, just what he told us in our conversation with him on Tuesday and then the radio appearance last night, like,
I think he's been in this a long time, and he knows how he wants to operate as a leader. And I think that in his mind, he's you know, comporting himself in a way that's consistent with that. And I think he made that really clear on the radio last night. This is how I do it. I want to be out among the people. If I share a cold beer or a cup of coffee or a piece of pie with people, that's great. That's who I am. And so, I don't know. I thought that it's not my place to say it was good, bad, or otherwise, but I thought that he, based on the conversations we've had with him too this week, I was very consistent with what he's been saying all along.
Well, Colton and I were talking, and I'm not going to rat Colton out here about what he brought. I don't have pie, but I'm drinking coffee. So what would you have with the moose? Would you have a piece of pie, a cold beer, or a cup of coffee?
It could be a whole day, and you could just do each one of them, you know?
I'm not gonna judge when you start with which, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, so, no, I think that's kind of – he's a storyteller, and he's a talker, and he loves the social aspect of it. I mean, one of the things I think is kind of it's not humorous because, one, you know, rumors, like he said, rumors can be damaging. And then on top of that, like, I'm not going to go so far as to say that we've definitely heard the last of this and it will never, you know, nothing of this sort can ever possibly come up again. Like, it's a living, breathing situation, you know. But one of the things I think is funny is that when he got here, what do you say, he wanted to set up the athletics department in a manner in which, you know, to allow him to be out of the office a lot. So the cook, you don't know if the cook's in the kitchen or not. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to live in the Haymarket because he wanted to go out to eat and be around people. And then, like, the moment that somebody out there in some corner of the internet thinks that he's done too much of that, it's like it becomes this big thing. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit ridiculous in my book.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, Moose, from the first press conference moving forward, has kind of laid out what he's about and in his managerial styles to let people do their job and not be a micromanager. We have great management here between Alpha and Hail Varsity. And when you need to talk, we talk, but for the most part, just kind of do your thing and do a great job. You know, I mean, that's ideal. Are you responsible?
Right. I think that people in the athletic department probably, I mean, I haven't talked to all 350 plus of them.
Well, why the hell not? I mean,
I know
kidding.
Personally, that's, well, right. No, but you know, like, I think by and large, that's, people would rather have that than, than have a micromanager. And, but I also, I mean, obviously there's all kinds of bad bosses out there, you know.
Sure.
You can say you're hands off, and what in reality what you're doing is a lot of nothing. But I don't think that there's anything to suggest that that's what's happening in this situation.
Well, I wanted to get your take on the week of Moose, Parker. Thanks for what you've done with your work on that. I need to move on to Sue. You had a chance to get in touch with Big Sue, and he's got to be just thrilled that he's in a championship game. I know he played in the championship game of the Big 12 against Texas, but he's had an amazing career, and finally he's at this stage. What was the vibe you got from him for this moment this week?
Yeah, I think you put your finger right on it. I mean, he's been a dominant football player for his whole life, you know, certainly his college and professional career, and he's never won a championship, you know, and so this is that chance right in front of him. Now, obviously, he's got an NFC championship and they won the West, but this is he's got a chance to be a world champion here, and he told me it means the world to him. You know, he's told me he's watched the Super Bowl from a lot of cool places all over the world, but as much fun as it is to travel the world and see a lot of different places, it's no fun watching the Super Bowl from, you know, overseas or in the Mediterranean or whatever. Like, you want to be right in the center of the action, and now he's got a chance finally to do that. I mean, until this year, this is the 8th year in the NFL, until this year, you know, he'd never been on a team that won a playoff game. And so to make a Super Bowl run now, I think it just kind of, it would be, he's done a lot of things. You know, he's won almost every award he can win in college. He's signed a massive contract. He's made a lot of money in his life. He's been recognized as one of the best players in the NFL, but this is the thing that he's never got to do, and he's never won a Super Bowl, and here's this chance for him right in front of him on Sunday.
Do you think he needs it for validation nationally? I think locally, everyone that watched him that night against Texas or watched him his senior year or watched him grow and become incredible his junior year know what he's about. But nationally, does he need a Super Bowl? I mean, I think when he turns it on, man, he's still one of the top five players in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I think you saw it in the NFC Championship game. I mean, he had a sack and a half. He was disruptive. He played great. I don't know if he needs it. I mean, you know, we all sort of know the ebbs and flows of his career in terms of, you know, he's dominant. You know, he's been fined and suspended a lot. Every year when they do the, you know, who's the dirtiest player, the guy you don't want to play against, he shows up on those things. But I don't know. I don't think that stuff in the end matters so much towards his legacy. I think everyone who plays football dreams of winning a Super Bowl. Like, that's the one thing. And he's got a chance to do it on Sunday. And I think he'll go down as a great player, mm-hmm. great professional player, no matter what. But it certainly would cement his status as a really good one.
Parker Gabriel with us, Lincoln Journal Star, Hail Varsity Radio at Husker Extra PG. On Twitter is where you follow him. Last side here, a couple minutes. What's your gut tell you about Demaryius Houston?
I think Nebraska probably feels really good about where they're at with him. You know, he visited earlier in January. That for a while, maybe he was going to go on a visit to Penn State, and then maybe he was going to go to Colorado this weekend. Neither of those things happened. As far as I know, and I've talked to some people around it, I don't think he's going on a visit this weekend. So, to me, you know, that puts Nebraska in the driver's seat. So, I think they feel good about it, and it'll be interesting to see – you know, if they get him, then what else is there sort of over the next few days? Because it could, you know, it could be that they take three. Maybe they'll only take two. And I think it'll just sort of depend on what happens here over the next three or four days.
Where are they at an outside linebacker? I know they want one or two, but how is that process right now? Are they any closer to landing a couple guys they're comfortable with?
Yeah, you know, Stephen Parker, the kid from Dallas, his recruitment's been pretty quiet. You know, there hasn't been a lot of information out there about it. He's going to Kansas this weekend, so I think there's a coach that he's really familiar with that's on the staff there now, if I'm not mistaken. But I know that Nebraska recently has felt pretty good about where they stand with him. But you know, when there's visits left and there hasn't been a lot of information out there about his recruitment, you can never be sure about that. I don't know exactly if they've totally moved on from Sony Finua or if they're trying to see what happens with Stephen Parker. But, you know, Finua visited Oklahoma State last weekend. He's visiting LSU this weekend. So obviously he's got a lot of interest there himself. I think Stephen Parker's probably the best bet, but that might be a signing day situation before we know publicly, and at least it'll be until early next week, I would think.
Well, Parker, thanks for jumping on, man. Appreciate you going over a lot of stuff, Sue and Moose and some recruiting stuff. We'll get caught up again down the road. Appreciate your time.
Yep, see you, Schmitty.
Take care. There he is, Parker Gabriel with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Husker Extra PGs, where you follow him on Twitter. Good stuff from him. And, yeah, I liked kind of sifting through it. Big Sue in the Super Bowl. We'll hear a little bit more from the Moose, and we'll spend some time on the Tim Miles subject. That is on the way. Great to be with you on Thursday at Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Star, jumping on with us, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Russ Hochstein, part of that Patriot dynasty, in about 20 minutes. Brandon L. Vogel from Hail Varsity at 525. Thoughts from you, 466-377-6800-825-5865. The poll question for you to go to, HailVarsity.com. Who you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Sue or Rex? Rams versus Patriots. Colton, have you decided?
I will be.
Are you not going to show up Saturday morning with, like, for the first half of the weekend edition with a Rams hat and the second half of the show a Patriots hat?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Not yet.
I'm weighing my options. But Sunday I will be wearing a $4 Sam Bradford jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
You found one.
Yeah, so I was in, because my fiance lives in.
We could have had Blevin send you one.
Well, so small town Illinois is where she's from is closer to St. Louis than Chicago.
So, like, East St. Louis.
Right. So she's in, I mean, almost Iowa, like almost okay. right on that okay. border,
like,
right?
Like Davenport?
Yeah, okay. So near that area. And we just, like, walked into the sporting goods store they had, and it was just a clearance rack, and they had just, like, I got, like, two $2 Rams shirts and, like, a $4 Sam Bradford jersey because the Steven Jackson was a kids extra, or a kids large and not a
right. But you've been known because you pump some iron to wear, like, the schmediums.
Yeah, I
You can rock it. Once you hit 30 and 40, you're going to get a baby. And the you can wear them if you want, Cousin Eddie. But, I mean, just you can pull it off now. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, I have a couple of jerseys from my youth that I've looked at, put on, immediately taken off, and was like, maybe another day.
So you found a $4.
Yeah, it was like $4.98, whatever the clearance price was.
There's a small town It's a small town. You've heard of McCook, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Right? It's where my grandparents are from. And they had a tiny little store called Alco. They used to exist, right? So whenever we go out west, this is absolutely in the same realm of what you just described. You walk into a small town, small store, and what's on the clearance rack, because you're kicking some time, right? You're right. Just burning some time. My brother, Uncle Mark found, like, a Marshall Faulk Road jersey. And it wasn't this fake, you sneeze on it, it's going to go from white to off-white and eventually, right, like, disintegrate on you. This thing was probably worn by Marshall. I don't know that, but it's before he got dealt to the Rams. And my brother's like, look what I got. It was the coolest thing. It was like $20. It's one of those super thick $89. This is years ago, back when before they were 100 and a half.
Right.
So, I'm sorry, this is jersey story time, but... Dude, you find that jersey for that price point.
Yeah.
It makes your year.
Well, and that was, it's like, I was weighing my options, like, do I get a Sam Bradford jersey? But then the whole idea was, how many more am I going to find?
Well, you can find a lot if you go to St. Louis.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially now. We'll get to the phones here in a minute. Let's get one more thought from Bill Moose, or a couple more thoughts from Bill Moose. And when he was on the network last night, he was asked by a caller about that list, that short list that every AD keeps in his or her drawer. And it's pretty good. This is a good exchange of how he lays out the drawer, and then he gives you the Bilotti example. So here's Moose on that desk drawer, and it was in reference. It started out football, but it's obviously the Tim Miles. Who's on your short list if Miles is not retained?
The answer is yes, and the answer has been yes when I've had football teams that were 11-1, and it's been yes when I've had basketball teams that were 28-2, and when we've had records that weren't that good. And the reason is you never know why or when a coach may be leaving, whether they want to or maybe they need to.
So there's always a list, all right? There's always a list. More from the Moose, and here's the Bilotti explanation. And he went on to say that Frosty was on his list even when he was at Washington State. But this is pretty good. I didn't know Mike Bilotti was in such high demand after they finished number two in the country.
I always like to be prepared to get out and get a replacement made as fast as possible. So When I was at Oregon and Mike Bellotti was my head coach in football, I had that list assembled with three or four top names because in one season after the Ducks finished second in the nation, he was offered the jobs at Ohio State, USC, and Notre Dame. And I had to be ready in the event that he left, and he also was being courted by some NFL team.
We cut that one off. My bad. So the guy that just took Oregon to amazing heights was maybe going to leave. Who's next? Well, this is the question and the answer about Tim Miles. And Moose hits it head on, but there's not any discussion right now. There's just evaluation. There's no time to make a decision right now.
Tim Miles is our basketball coach. I support him. I want to win every game from here on out. I think we're capable of that. It's unfortunate that we have some injury things that we're concerned with now, but we need to bounce back and play well, and we can still have a very, very good season. So I will not disrupt that, and I support Tim and his staff and our great players and everything we're doing right now, and then we'll assess it at the end of the year. That's always been my practice.
There's your reason. There's your answer. There's your info on the Miles situation. The injury situation with Cope, and we spent some time on this after it happened, but it's devastating, but the team wasn't playing well with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that it's a viable excuse if Nebraska doesn't make the tournament to keep a job. I lost my second best player, maybe my most consistent and best player. It's going to affect the team, but big picture, was this thing trending the right way? You started 11-2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not demanding that there needs to be a change based on a four-game skid right now.
Right.
I'm just thinking big picture here. What's the team going to be able to be and do offensively? We'll spend more time on Nebraska basketball tomorrow as they get ready for Illinois. They played their butt off against Wisconsin. As a Nebraska fan, you can appreciate that for sure. I want to remind you about your friends at Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman. They have that one-carat diamond for you. And when I tell you about diamonds and Sauter Heyman, the diamond solitaire is just going to cost you $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much she means to you. Maybe it's your first string. Maybe it's time to upgrade. But the time is now to take care of this special offer from Sauter Heyman. One-carat diamond. A spectacular one-carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month. And can log on SauterHeyman.com or go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west. In Grand Island, we'll wind down hour one. Russ Hochstein, Brandon Vogel. Hail Varsity continues on, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Just thinking about Sue here and what's in front of him and the Rams for the Super Bowl. And Rex Burkhead, you'll hear the Super Bowl here on ESPN Lincoln, and many of our Hail Varsity affiliates will have that for you. Is there a performance that tops his Texas performance? I mean, Roy against Missouri was phenomenal. What Tommy Frazier did against Florida was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you had Rich Glover with 22 tackles in the game of the century against Oklahoma, which was nuts. You've watched the game of the century, haven't you?
Yeah, probably a time or two.
Well, right. No, but I'm just saying it's super grainy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an elitist snot right now and say, can we get that thing digitized, please?
Colorized, yep.
It's colorized. I just need it digitized, yeah. Man. But enhanced. No, I mean, Sue's performance, I mean, that's like a top 10, top 5, maybe top 3 moment or performance for Nebraska football fans. I mean, that's a game that still kills them.
Oh, yeah.
But they're so proud of because of what he did and who he did it against.
Well, and part of it, too, is if I'm remembering years correctly, the...
But 10 years, 09.
Yeah, so the Alex Henry kick was the year before when he
had...
It was
08 against your Buffs.
Right, well, I've disowned them, but that's, you know, I'll still wear the hoodie, it's comfortable. But his pick six and stiff arm on Hawkins, right?
Right, I mean, like, he went MMA on the dude.
Right, so you see that, and then, you know, full year goes by, and then you get the Texas performance, and it's like, how is this guy not... I mean, obviously, he almost won the Heisman, but it's just like, this is one of the best athletes to come through here.
Well, I'm still pissed he didn't get the Heisman.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my fan hat on for a second and go, why didn't that work out?
He was the...
And Mark Ingram's nice, and I know Bama won a championship, but man.
Statistically, he... Sue himself.
84 tackles.
He was the fourth best defensive line in the
entire country.
You saw
that from SB Nation, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and you're like, okay, Bama was good. Florida was nice.
Texas was good.
Sue by himself, right? Then you had OU and Gerald McCoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That wasn't a bad year for the Big 12, where you got your Sam Bradford going one overall, and Dominican going two, McCoy going three.
Yeah.
That was boom, boom, boom. And, Sam Bradford.
Yeah, two of them are still in the league, and one is successful.
But, I mean, Sam Bradford could buy his own country, right?
With Arizona's money alone, yeah.
Well, no, but he had, like, $70 million for being the first pick overall.
Yeah. And then $20 million to ride the bench.
His guaranteed money was nuts. And Sue's was incredible, too. Look at us count Sue's money. Look at us being generous like that.
It takes us more than a couple hours.
No, sure. I know. We'll run down Russ Hochstein in 10 minutes. He is the pride of Hardington, Nebraska. Two-time Super Bowl champ, appeared in three Super Bowls overall. 12 years in the league, played with Kansas City and Denver. And we talked to Russ when it was Kansas City and New England about 2 weeks ago for the AFC Championship. But Russ, man, he'll give us some great insight onto New England, that Patriot mystique. Excited to hear that. Excited to talk with him. And then we'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel, Hail Varsity. We'll spend some time with him on recruiting, get his take on this Moose Week, this saga, and... Yeah, I'm anxious to get into some of the overtime stuff, too. I mean, we didn't quite get to it yesterday, time-wise, about the overtime rules. What do you want to see in college football? So that's on the way. Hour 2 coming up with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Russ Hochstein with us, Hail Varsity Radio. It's Super Bowl week, Russ, and this time of year's got to be special to you. And I got to ask you, how do the Hochsteins celebrate the Super Bowl? I mean, is it beer and wings and soda and brisket, or what are you doing Sunday?
I personally will be in Florida probably to celebrate the Super Bowl. I have, the last few years, the company I work for now has a little bit of a trip that they go down to Fort Lauderdale, and you view the game in a place where you can get ice-cold cocktails in about 75-degree weather. So I'm not complaining. The rest of my family will be back home enjoying it, probably in the cold, watching it on TV. And I still got some little kids, so they'll be in bed early that night. But hopefully they'll get to see the whole game.
Tell me about your company. What you're doing before we get into game week and Brady and New England and all this good stuff.
I work for a private-owned ambulance company. We in and around Boston, Massachusetts. We're one of the biggest private-owned ambulance companies up here. I actually work in business development sales. I go out and secure exclusivity to skilled nursing facilities, hospitals, LTACs, and places like that for transport. So any patient that comes in and out, we want them on our truck. That's what I do. And I've been doing this almost 5 years and enjoy it a lot. I'm a people person. I get to see people face to face, and I enjoy it.
That is awesome. Russ Hochstein with us, Hale Varsity Radio. What's this week mean to you as a guy who played in three Super Bowls? You won two with New England. You're part of that Patriots dynasty, man.
This is the greatest week in sports, unlike anything else. As you guys know, basketball, hockey, baseball have series. And football, you're one and done. And there's nothing like it. It's like a one-week circus. And to be a part of it three times, I was extremely lucky and blessed. And I know we worked hard to get there, but it is something I wish every young kid in America could do who loves football, because it is the mecca of that and a lot of fun.
Did you feel pressure? Did New England feel pressure? Because you won back-to-back, and I enjoyed Coach Belichick this week at Media Days singing the praises of McVay, and I think he's sincere with it, but the tone to me was also, hey, man, you've got the all-star team. We're just little old New England. I mean, he tried to turn it that way. How did you deal with the pressure? You want it as a big-time athlete, as a pro player, but it's still, I mean, it can mess with your head, can it?
The pressure, absolutely. You'd be lying, any athlete would be lying to say there's no pressure. I feel like great players thrived on pressure, enjoyed the pressure, and wanted to be in those situations. It's like in basketball or baseball. You know, your best pitcher wants the ball when the game's on the line. Your best basketball player wants to take that last shot in football. You want to be the best team in the end, and you want the ball driving for the end zone when the game's on the line. So I think every good athlete wants that and thrives for that. It can get you. You know, if you let it affect you too early in the game and you kind of can't control it and you can't keep your poise, it can destroy your game as well. But most guys, as they get to this point, going through the AFC, NFC championship and the playoffs themselves, have experienced enough of it that once that kickoff happens and you get into the game three or four plays into it, it is football. It is the thing you've done all year, and you kind of revert back to what you know best, and you play as hard as you can. Obviously, it's ratcheted up, the intensity, the hitting. The speed, it just seems like everything's flying faster than it ever has. But again, it's all about keeping your poise, being calm and understanding what you've been coached and just executing what you can play in and play out.
Russ Hochstein with us, Hale Varsity Radio, 12-year NFL vet and won two Super Bowls with the Patriots, part of that New England dynasty. Last time we talked to you about a week and a half ago, Russ, it was Chiefs-Patriots, and that thing was amazing. What a ball game. What a finish. What a drive, capped off by a Husker and Rex Burkhead. How does Bill Belichick prepare you guys? Did he prepare you guys, and does he still, as part of that Patriot Nation, for the moment, for the pressure, the practice? I mean, put into words, playing for him, what it's like, what is it fun? Rex Burkhead said this week, hey, man, it's fun to play in New England, but it doesn't look like it from the outside looking in because it's so just machine-like.
Oh, absolutely. But that part of that when people say, like what Rex said with machine-like, absolutely, there's some truth to that, but can you argue the success that's had for players?
No.
Quite frankly, players are creatures of habit. I like being in a routine, and it makes things easier and simpler as a player to prepare week in and week out. So I enjoyed that part. And the grind of football during the year, when I played, we used to have a lot of fun. I mean, in practice, because you got to remember, in pro football, there isn't enough guys just to throw out an entire practice squad team and prepare the starters on their side. A lot of guys had to take reps, you know, scout team reps against the other guys. So we always made it fun. You know, it was a competition, play in and play out. You know, if I was on the scout team, hook team, and I was playing against Vrabel and I was playing tackle, hell, I was going to do my best and never let him touch the quarterback. And we'd talk a little smack and have a lot of fun with it, getting the two-minute drives and try and score on them. So we made that fun, and I personally think I absolutely had the time of my life playing in New England. Success helps that, obviously, but, you know, at the end of the day, I don't care what anybody says. I had fun. I was like a band of brothers. The O-line I played with up here are all still very good friends of mine. I still see them a lot, as much as I can, and, you know, in that room, we cared about one another, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
What was the relationship like with Belichick? And it's different, right? It's different in pro sports versus playing for Coach Osborne, Coach Solich, Coach Milt, right? I mean, the college to the pro jump, I assume, where one's a business, one's college, where you got a guy like T.O. that loves you, right, cares about you. And I'm not saying Bill doesn't, but Bill just seems maybe not the most warm and fuzzy type guy out there.
Well, and you just hit it right on the head. It is. The NFL, whether you like it or not, at the end of the day, is a business. You're there to win. You're there to perform. And there's a price tag on that. And as long as there is a price tag on there, you're kind of treated as a commodity in a way. And so are coaches. You know, don't kid yourself. If Bill wasn't winning every year, you know, they'd be firing guys like him too. But obviously, he's the greatest of all time at what he's doing as well. So he has a lot more leniency. But, you know, that is the difference. In college, you know, you have a group of coaching staff that comes in and recruits you from a young age. And you get there, you hit the weight room for 4 years, you grow, you become a man. And they get to see that. Where in the NFL, you're already a man before you get there. And you're treated as such. And so there's a little bit of difference there. And you know, whether we like it or not, college is still an amateur sport where, you know, no one's getting paid yet to do that. And, you know, so there's a little difference in your mentality when you deal with coaches and things like that. But make no mistake, Tom Osborne, Solich, and obviously Milt Tenneper, Dan Young, the guys I had personally, were some of the best coaches I ever had. Still to this day, and I can obviously say Dante Scarnecchia, my O-line coach here in New England, who's an unsung hero for the Patriots over the last 20 years, is also one of the best. So I have nothing but respect for the guys I played for.
What was it about Brady? You were on that offensive line. You started multiple spots. Why do guys follow him? He's awesome. Okay, obviously, but how does he connect with you?
Oh, I think it's just his demeanor, his attitude. He hates to lose. And when you're a competitive player, you love guys like that. And, you know, we always joke, and O-linemen, we throw our bodies in front of everybody and in front of a bus to protect him. because you knew that if he was upright and he's slinging the ball, you still have a chance. Whether you're down, up, it doesn't matter. And he knows it. He appreciates it. He knows he can't do it alone. And, again, what, you know, talking about what we talked about earlier with poise, the guy is always poised. Do you ever see Tom Brady really rattled? No. And he just knows, hey, I'm going to go out and execute. I'm going to do it from this point to this point to this point to this point. And he keeps going on down the field. And if he's struggling, they'll go back to the sideline. They'll figure it out. And, you know, any player who has someone like that who's controlling your offense, you're going to get in line. You're going to jump on the bus and ride that thing for everything it's worth. And you know, Tom's a friend of mine. Tom's a great guy, and he cares about the guys that are around him. And that's what a true leader really is.
He wants to play until he's 45. Robert Kraft was asked about an extension. Can the guy do it? I mean, he's in amazing shape, but we're both in our 40s now, Russ. I mean, you're in probably way better shape than I am, but I feel like hell, and I haven't been hit by linebackers.
Well, I can say that I'm in my 40s, and life changes.
Yes, it does.
Boy, does it ever change. yeah, I don't know. The league, the way the current configuration of penalties, what's called, and the protections that quarterbacks are allotted, I absolutely think guys can play well into their 40s at that position. You know, I don't think Tom's alone. You got Drew Brees sitting down in New Orleans, yep, Flinging the ball over the field, looks as good as he's ever looked. Phillip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers is only in his 30s, but there's a guy who's young. If he could stay healthy, he's got a solid arm, and they'll let him go a long ways. And can he play till 45? He keeps telling us he will, and so far he hasn't been wrong. I don't know. That's 3 years is a long time. What is he, 42? He's 41 now or 42.
He'll be 42 in August, yeah.
Big difference in time. And I do know one thing. When you get older, you got to work twice as hard to get back to where you were in your 30s. And in your 30s, you had to work twice as hard as you were to be in your 20s. So every year that gets ratcheted up for him, and I'm sure he's going to have to work harder and harder and harder. But as long as they got Dante Scarnecchia coaching that O-line and keeping people off of him, he's got a chance.
Russ Hochstein, standout Husker and part of the Patriots dynasty with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Russ, we love chatting with you. I need to get your take from an offensive line perspective. Let's get to the game. Rams, Patriots, you know, and you've watched Ndamukong Suh, his career, and he's been revitalized in Los Angeles. Aaron Donald's incredible. One would be enough to deal with on an offensive line. You've got both of them. What's New England to do about those two when it comes to Sunday?
Batten down the hatches and pray a little bit. Those two guys are a nightmare, and both of them will probably be in the Hall of Fame someday if they have. Obviously, Sue's had a good long career, and I don't think it's over yet. Aaron Donald seems like he's just hitting his peak, and he's going to keep running for a while. So both those guys are phenomenal players. And if I'm New England, you're going to go back to the old ways of doing things, and that is to keep bodies around them. Get rid of that. Hopefully Tom can unload that ball fast, short drops, and find your checkdowns if you need to. And I'm sure it's no secret. I'm sure Wade Phillips and those guys are figuring that out too. But you got to remember, as good as those guys are, they got some pretty good guys playing against them. David Andrews is a very good center. Shaq Mason's practically a Pro Bowler at the right guard spot. And Brown, their left tackle, has played phenomenal. And he's probably one of the biggest guys in the NFL. So they're going to hold their own. They're tough, and they're well-coached, as I've said, about Dante and the scheme they'll use. They'll take away some things that they utilize, whether they have to run at Aaron Donald or Sue, they'll do that. I don't think it's been very successful for a lot of teams, but maybe they can do that to slow them down as well and as well as get rid of the ball fast if they have to. So, the most fun thing about Super Bowls is kind of the early quarter, the first quarter is watching that cat and mouse game of what's that defensive thinking they're going to do and what's the offense going to do to adjust. And that's always a lot of fun to watch in Super Bowls. And it's real telling early on. And I'm sure there'll be some surprises in there for both teams.
Russ, last thought, I got to ask you about Gronk. I mean, I don't know if this is his last rodeo or not, but he's had an entertaining week. We'll just leave it at that with how he has been in front of the media. And with him, is Belichick the type of guy to, like, kind of shut somebody's personality down? Or with a guy like Gronk, is he just kind of stepping back and going, that's Gronk, that's my guy, we'll just deal with him? Because I'm talking about it from a distraction angle.
The thing with the Super Bowl is it's hard to control the message too much because there's just so much attention and there's so many eyes on the players, everything they do and say. And as you know, the media loves to run with stories and things like that. Do I think he's done? I have no idea. Only Gronk can tell us that. Obviously, this year has been a sign that he hasn't caught the ball as much. He hasn't probably done as many routes as he's done in the past. And maybe that's because of injury. Maybe it's not. He's done a hell of a job blocking up front.
Yeah.
Especially the latter half of the season. I don't know. The question is, will New England continue to pay him at the value he's at now to stay here? I have my doubts about that. Everyone kind of has an expiration date, I think, in Belichick's mind. So I don't know. I've known Gronk for a couple of years. I think he's a great guy, a great personality. And to go to your other question is, Bill, I don't know if you ever really stop a person's personality on your team. All you do is try and shape it and contain it a little bit. So I'm sure he's had some conversations with Bill and some other people there to say, hey, listen, you can do what you want to do, but just keep the message on point and don't give too much bulletin board material for the other team.
Russ Hochstein, standout Husker and Patriot. Russ, we'll talk soon, man. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You're welcome, you guys. Enjoy that cold weather.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Russ Hochstein, tremendous New England Patriot. 2 out of 3 ain't bad when it comes to world championships. And this guy's got some rings. Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter, from HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, are your rings as big as Hochstein's?
No. No, not even close. He's always such a great interview. I know you have him on from time to time, and he was out there in New England at the time that I was living in Boston, so I always feel a little remorseful. I was like, yeah, you know, Russ and I should have hung out. Like, I don't know if that's okay with him, but it would have been okay with me.
Russ is a good dude. I got to meet him when he was the torchlighter for the Cornhusker State Games, and I had math with him in freshman year at Nebraska. One of us had to retake that math class. The other did not. And I put effort in. I'm just going to move on to football now. I'm just going to stop.
Okay.
Let's do some math. What adds up, if anything, to the week Bill Moose has had?
I don't know at this point. You know, there's everything that was out there. There's what Bill Moose and other leaders of the University of Nebraska have said on record, and you know. You sort of gotta go with what's out there and what's official. So it's been a strange week, you know, trying to run down things, figure out, is there something here? Is there nothing here? And I don't feel like, you know, we totally know. But the refutations of the rumors that started earlier this week have been pretty strong. So I think that's kind of where you have to land, unless you know something that that I certainly don't.
Right, and that's just it. It was addressed last night on the Husker Sports Network, but we'll move on to football and recruiting and college football postseason, or I should say overtime. We'll move on to some really awesome stuff, but how do you think Moose came across last night?
Pretty strong. You know, it was – he'd obviously – given some comments the day before, but this was kind of his forum, and you know, as everyone was talking about it, as is likely this time of year, you kind of have to address it. I thought he came out pretty strong, so I thought they handled that part of it pretty well. You know, he said what he had to say at the point where he said, "I'll be here next month too." It kind of told you everything you needed to know about where he was at with everything that had happened this week. So I thought it got the point across.
Do we ever find out who's behind this?
Probably not. I mean, the way these things go, I don't think so. And, you know, the gossip mill likes to run, particularly around big-time college football programs. And I think, you know, I don't think that's totally unique to Nebraska, but we certainly had our share here in the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it's tough when those things keep popping up and the football program's trying to get back on track. You've got basketball that's trying to do what it needs to do, and it doesn't make it an easy job by any means, but I don't think anybody who came into that job assumed it would be.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Let's spend a few minutes here on the HailVarsity.com fan poll. You can vote. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Sue and the Rams, Sexy Rexy and the Patriots. Man, I'm going Sue here. We'll give our predictions tomorrow. But we were talking with Parker earlier, and I was reading a story today, USA Today, with Sue. And he's wanting to kind of change that narrative about, all right, dude's awesome and great, but he's dirty. And he's trying to be remembered as awesome and great and that Jim Schwartz era to just, okay, you can't get rid of it, but hey, I'm an awesome football player. Well, do you think he'll have a big game on Sunday? Do you think he can have a big game without having numbers. That's just what he'll do. But do you think it'll be something? Can he rise up to something similar to the 09 Texas game?
That's a pretty high bar to hit.
It is, but I'm wondering, right? Because he kind of does rise up when he's on these types of stages.
He does. You know, it's not easy for me to think of football games where one player has dominated to the degree that Sue did in that game against Texas. And for that to come from a defensive tackle is even more amazing. I think it's more along the lines of, like, he plays really well. May, you know, the numbers may or may not be there. In the NFC Championship game, they kind of were. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't surprise me. More likely is he does a bunch of stuff that doesn't get recognized on the first watch as you're eating wings and trying to pay attention to commercials too. And plays really well, you know, and that's kind of what decides it for me. We got the question in the mailbag, you know, remove the teams from it. Who do you root for? Sue or Rex? And those are probably two of the most beloved Huskers of the past decade or so. And it's a tough question. For me, I think I side with Sue as well, just because he's one of the greatest football players I've ever seen. And that kind of player, it doesn't matter so much to me, but that kind of player gets validated a little bit when they get a title. You know, it's the Charles Barkley discussion. Nobody debates that Charles Barkley was a great basketball player. But when you get down to, like, okay, well, how great? Titles frequently come up. And if Sue gets to check that box off, I think it does add a little bit to his career, even if it doesn't matter at all to me.
You're right. And here's, I can't take part of the influence on Sue v. Rex here is the fact that, I mean, it's the Patriots and Rams, and New England will be back, right? Sorry, I said it. They'll three in a row, right? Why not just make it a four-pack next season? Sue is, I mean, it's year nine. Not that Rex is a spring chicken anymore, okay? But, I mean, this may be Sue's chance. This may be Sue's chance. I think, am I nuts here? Did Rex win one already three years ago, or has he just been with New England 2 years? I mean, the lines are blurry right now, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Patriots make it tough in that regard.
Right? I mean, you're a Patriot. Did you win one? Yes or no, right?
Right. We just assume yes.
I think
the answer is no. I would have to double check as well. So, you know, and that adds a part to it as well. But it's just it's a different trajectory NFL-wise. You know, I mean, Sue signed a massive contract to come to LA. He's been a frontline player for a long time. And, you know, that doesn't diminish anything that Rex does. I mean, I think he found the perfect spot in New England. And how they use him does make you think, you know, also he came into the league a little bit later, that he can stick around a little bit more. And you add in the Patriots run, and, yeah, you do kind of look at it as, like, you don't count on the L.A. Rams and Ndamukong Suh being back there the way that you do the Patriots. And I think that's enough for the conflicted Nebraska fan to, if they have to make a choice, make a choice.
Well, you've got to make a choice Sunday, and you always make the right choice with your smoker or your grill. What are you doing food-wise, man? You're doing chili, and what else? Are you doing chili? I don't know.
Probably not chili. I'm kind of debating at the moment. So beer cheese soup has been, like, my classic chili alternative for Super Bowl Sunday. I think I've mentioned that before.
I had some of that last night. It was fabulous.
Yeah, so doing a really nice one of those never disappoints. But I'm thinking about going with I have my grandmother's recipe for what are essentially runzas, though she didn't call them runzas.
Of course
so
not.
I might go that route. Like, make them miniature, small ones, come up with some dipping sauces, do that. Last year I think I made, instead of buffalo wings, buffalo cauliflower, which is good. Like, wings are just too hard to get right at home, at least for me. I try to avoid them. So that night, those are the top two contenders at this point. I know I have a fallback. If I just want to go with beer cheese soup again, I'll go with that.
No, that's good. Beer cheese is always a solid call. It is a mess temperature-wise this time of year to try and smoke or even grill. Yeah. I said that out loud. Sorry. So, yeah. No, I think you're very good. To go with it. How do you do your cauliflower? Do you just steam them and put Asian zing on, or what?
Yeah, you steam them to make sure they're cooked through, and then you actually bread them and then toss them with whatever sauce you want.
Oh.
Throw them in the oven a little bit to crisp up the breading, and good to go.
So you they aren't the healthy cauliflower. I was thinking healthy cauliflower, like cauliflower pizza crust. No, you're deep frying them, bro, and you're just going to say, bring it on. That's good. I like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're still probably got an edge on chicken wings in the health department, but are they healthy? No.
No.
No, they're not.
Okay, I got about 90 seconds. This is not long enough. Brandon Vogel's rule for college football overtime is what?
I'm fine with the rule as it stands. It's really entertaining.
It's great.
It maintains enough element of real football that I'm perfectly fine with it, but the powers that be are apparently mulling other options, one of which is to remove field goals from the equation. So you still start at the 25. You just don't have that option. I think that's okay. I think that could elevate the game, because then you're getting even, not to disparage kickers or diminish what they do, but then you're getting even more of it in. So you got a chance to get a first down, but basically the offense knows it has to get a touchdown. And the big thing is it removes the coin flip. Like, the coin flip has undue influence, not as much as the NFL, but you remove that part of it. I mean, without field goals, I think teams would start to take the ball first. Like, if you got a really strong offense, you want to put pressure on a team, go out there and say, yeah, we know we got to get a touchdown, and we think we can get it. So I like that part of it. If they decide to make a change, that's one I would definitely be in favor of.
Vogues, what's coming up on HailVarsity.com and magazine about 40 seconds?
Yeah, so a couple of great things today from Derek Peterson, kind of taking the statistical deep dive back into the 2018 season and then looking ahead at the Super Bowl. We'll have a few more of those things. We're getting ready for signing day next week, of course, which, not the traditional February signing day that it once was. It's still a pretty big day, so got some things in the works there, and we'll have a few more Super Bowl things over the course of the weekend.
Great. Vogues, good to talk to you, bud. We'll catch up Saturday. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Cauliflower. Ah. Fry it. Crisp it. Wing it. We'll talk overtime. What do you want to see in college football? Hang on.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Man, it's going to be a good one on Sunday with the Super Bowl. Excited to have coverage of that here. ESPN Lincoln will have it. So many of our affiliates, too. We'll have the opportunity to provide coverage of the Super Bowl. If you're on the road, check it out for sure. And it's New England. It's Los Angeles. Great stuff from Grant Wistrom yesterday. Awesome stuff from Russ Hochstein today. So we got both points of view. Huh? We got a Ram and we got a Patriot. And if you miss Russ Hochstein this hour, check it out on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. The Futuri post is up for the interview. Brandon Vogel was great. We talked Bill Moose. We talked some Nebraska football. And we got into some overtime. And we even got some food in. Parker Gabriel's with us in hour one. He was great to run down. Okay, let's hear real quick from Coach McVay and his thoughts on the Belichick comparison, right? Because that's one of the storylines this week. Is McVay the next? The guy's 32. There's a picture of his high school yearbook and driver's license. And he's got the Abercrombie and Fitch do going in the picture. Colton, you know what I'm saying, brother, with kind of the long bangs that were not quite the Bieber, but sort of, kind of, with that type of tailored hair. I mean, so whatever, but here's McVay on someone asking him about being compared to Belichick.
to even be mentioned in the same breath as Coach Belichick, I've got a long way to go to even be in that category. I mean, he's done it for so long, so consistently. But I think some of the things that I'd like to, you know, to learn from when you watch and appreciate what he's done for so long is the consistency, very similar to kind of what we were talking about with Coach Walsh. There's a detail. And, I mean, even when you just hear him speak, you know, the wealth of knowledge and experience that he's pulling from is incredible. And he's got such an ownership and a mastery on offense, defense, and special teams. I mean, you talk about somebody that understands the nuances of the game, the tactical approaches, and how to really put together a game plan that's conducive for his players' skill sets, but it's also about playing with all three phases working in unison, not necessarily one separate from the other. You know, and he's just done such a great job.
Have things cooled? The football fans you know, the football fan you are, have things cooled with your dislike towards Belichick? It's three straight years of the Patriots. You got overdosed with the Super Bowl overtime against Atlanta. They just got beat. They just flat out got beat by a good Philly team last year. They beat Seattle. They've won they've won a couple since Spygate. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the funniest online social media meme I've seen is from somebody superimposed Belichick's face on like a ground screw guy saying, oh, it's just, meet our new ground screw guy, Charles. He's just here hanging out and he's emptying, you know, the stadium trash. It's hilarious. He's just sitting there while someone's practicing, taking notes. I've kind of been influenced by Coach McBride a little bit just because Coach McBride worked with, or I should say knew Belichick's father, who was at Navy. And just knowing that there's that respect that the Coach McBride has for Belichick, but really the respect that Belichick has for McBride. So that Nebraska angle is pretty cool. And with Nebraska having so much influence or name recognition in the Super Bowl, it's really cool. And it's really going to be awesome for Sue. It's going to be cool for Zach Taylor. I mean, Zach's great dude, really talented coach, roommates with Jay Moore. I mean, when they were here, and that's awesome. And Zach's always been really cool to us. And so, I mean, I kind of want the Rams to win, but Rex is the best dude ever. And he's talented, and he's found his niche, and he's found a role. And based on how good he was at Nebraska, you were just wondering what type of NFL career he'd have. But that just... Rex has had a really good NFL career. He's been great, but he's also found his niche, and he's done the little things where it's been special teams, it's been H-back, it's been whatever, just to stay in the league. And he's made teams, and he's contributed. And a guy that was as good as it gets in the state of Texas and was great here at Nebraska, okay? I mean, think of the Ohio State game with Rex taking over, him and Lavonte David, okay? And I feel bad for Rex in 12 with the knee injury he ended up having. But the guy's just a grinder. I mean, he had Rex and Amir, for God's sake. Yeah. It was a wonderful 1-2 punch. And I think having Rex do what he's done is incredible, man. And it really just kind of reiterates how tough the NFL is. If a guy as good as Rex Burkhead is a contributor versus a star in what Rex does is a super high level and a star in his own right, but it's not a high profile. It's not Brady. It's not Gurley. Right. It's a role. For him to be a really good role guy, as good as he was in college, that tells you how hard it is to make the 53-man roster.
Well, and on top of that, too, I mean, he probably found the perfect roster to be a part of.
Well, they found him, right?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, he landed in the perfect spot because it – you look at the Patriots roster, and like when it comes to names, it's usually just Brady and Gronk, and then after that, it's kind of like,
we'll see what we got this year to make great stew.
Yeah, like if Edelman comes back, great. If we find another receiver, great. If not, like we'll play good defense, and we'll find some guys that can play offense. Like he hasn't had to do too much while also doing enough. So.
And that's the thing with New England. That's what McBride said, man. They're doing it with, like, good players but not great players. So there you go. Let's get some audio from Aaron Donald here on what their plan is. And I'm interested to see. That is the matchup, right? And Russ Hochstein talked about it. What is going to happen with New England's offensive line? They've been playing great football. You're playing the best defensive line in football, two of the best anyway. And what gives Sunday? We'll spend a lot more time on the Super Bowl tomorrow, but Aaron Donald, can he do what's the trick? And with the three Super Bowl losses, you had Strahan get after Brady. You had an interior pass rush get after Brady in both Giants wins. And you had Fletcher Cox do whatever the hell he wanted to do last year. He was amazing. He's still great, but he was, again, in the interior. Wasn't off the edge. He was up the middle to make Brady move his feet and get uncomfortable and get off his spot. Can Aaron Donald and Sue do that again?
You know, you see strengths, you see weaknesses. You know, that's what you study for. So, it ain't always about sacks, though. You know, it's about, you know, the quarterback pressure, the quarterback hits, just making him move off the spot, not letting him feel comfortable. As long as he feel you close to him, you know, that's any quarterback. You make him feel a little uncomfortable. So, you want the sacks, you want the strips, but at the same time, as long as you affected him some way, somehow, to the point where he ain't too comfortable in the pocket to, you know, do what he do. You know, we're doing our job and we're going to get it done.
Tell you what, bro. I mean, Sue's the type of guy that can go get a clean shot on Brady. And it'll be a clean shot on Brady, but it might be a knockout shot on Brady. I mean, do you envision that? And I'm not wishing it. I want to see everyone full strength. Let's have this thing down to the fourth quarter. Who makes a play? But Sue, that's me. He's vicious after the quarterback.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff today. Miss any part of the show, log on the podcast on ESPN Lincoln. Also with iTunes and HailVarsity.com, Chris Schmidt, 80s action star. He's serious now. He has got the hat turned backwards, Colton Stone. Follow us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Two Birds, One Stone. Andrew is in, which means it's a beer show Thursday. And it's Granite City, Nick and Rob and Liz. That's awesome. I think the beer show is something you should go visit if you're in Lincoln. Get to Granite City and check them out. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Plenty of stuff on Bill Moose today. We had his audio thanks to our affiliate Newstalk 900 in Columbus. So you got to hear from Bill Moose and answer some of the questions and make some of the comments on what we call Moose Gate this week, not by his own doing. Yes, it was Parker Gabriel joined us. Thoughts from him on some recruiting and some Nebraska news and notes and also the Moose saga. Brandon Vogel was with us. And then part of that New England Patriot dynasty, Russ Hochstein with two Super Bowl rings was with us. Colton, what are your plans tonight, man? What do you got going?
I'm going to work after this.
Again, I mean, you're going to another gig, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it drive-through taco night? Is it pizza night? What are you doing?
It's a good question. I've been thinking about that the whole time.
You haven't
I've been
brought
here.
In any chicken or yams very recently.
Not yet. No. I've
done the chicken and rice thing because of you. That's like a good clean dinner.
Yeah, it's not. You know, and it's not like you're.
I got suckered into taking the wife out to dinner tonight.
Yeah, that's the thing is I've been going back and forth. I probably need to go back to like prepping out my meals and having everything, but I get home from school or from work or wherever, and it's just like, you know, that McDonald's, those arches, they're calling me.
No, they are. And when you're done with that, get to Madonna Proactive. Got to give a shout out to our friends at Madonna, 56 and Pine Lake. Listen, it's January. Thank God this godforsaken month is almost over. It's the longest month of the year. But what I'm telling you here is that health kick you started out with the New Year's resolution, take advantage. Get signed up here. Your first 6 months at Madonna, $39 a month. Associate members, that means if you and Mama want to go, it's $39 for you, $29 for her. Plus, Madonna offers 140 weekly fitness classes there's a class for you. Maybe it's the TRX. Maybe it is yoga. Maybe it is some of the cycling. Great facilities when it comes to the aerobic workouts you want, the strength training, the pool, the Therapy Plus section, man. If you need to rehabs and injury, Madonna Therapy Plus can help you out too with that AquaTrack. Three pools at Madonna. One is now an ice rink, but you get what I'm saying. The indoor and the AquaTrack is there. All right, we are done, man. We are out on a Thursday. Thanks for jumping on. Thanks for chiming in. And thanks for spending time with Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, and .com. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Enjoy yourself. Check out that Russ Hochstein, Brandon Vogel, and Parker Gabriel segment. If you missed any part of Moose's comments, we had that to kick the show off. So that's where we're at tomorrow. We will have our Super Bowl predictions, the Pride of Fairbury, and we're still efforting some of those who have risen the Super Bowl championship. Hang on tight. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4.